Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
What's shaking, Red Nation? It is Jeremy Brenner with another episode of the Dream Take, presented by the Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. Another loss tonight. Rockets fall to 13-48 on the season, and this is loss number 10 in a row. We've hit double digits once again. Final score, Denver Nuggets 133, Houston Rockets 112. Now, look, Denver is the best team in the West. We've got the soon-to-be three-time MVP. This isn't that big of a surprise, all things considered. But, of course, you get the loss tonight, and you never want to see that. Jamal Murray had 32 points. 16 of those came in the first 9 minutes of the game. Again, letting these scorers get hot is not conducive for the Rockets. 17 for Michael Porter, 14 for KCP, 14 for Jokic, but that came with 11 rebounds and 10 assists as well. 15 off the bench for Bruce Brown, and 11 for Aaron Gordon in just 21 minutes. That's all he needed to play, you know? The Nuggets had this game wrapped up pretty much at halftime. They were up nearly 20 points. Or they were up 20 points, excuse me, at 74-54 at halftime. And it kind of just cruised from there. The Rockets, meanwhile, 17 points for Tari Eason, 12 boards off the bench for him. Another solid game from him. We also saw the return of Jalen Green. Just 19 minutes tonight from Jalen. But considering the fact that there is another game tomorrow night, and he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he hasn't played since, you know, it's been a couple weeks. I want to say it was at the beginning of the month, but no, it was like 2 weeks ago. It feels like forever ago, but good to see Jalen back out there today. Had a good outing, I feel, in that spot. 14 points for Dacian Nix tonight, a decent night for him. 15 for KJ, and you got Ty off the bench with 12 and Josh Christopher off the bench with 11. So some decent individual nights for the Rockets, but this team just defensively doesn't have it. And, you know, defense turn for good, for great teams, I should say great teams, defense, a good defense can turn into a good offense as well. Or a great defense can turn into a good offense. And that to me is Denver. You know, Denver doesn't, you know, have, like, Denver isn't seen as this, like, you know, super power on the defensive end of the court. But if you look at their, opponents, you know, points per game, they're about in the middle of the pack at 112.8, which is good enough for 13th in the league. But I mean, if you take away a point, you know, they jump right into that top five or so. So their defense is pretty sound. And they use that to generate offense, you know, and they've got the perfect players around for Nikola Jokic. And it's just really hard for any team to win, let alone the worst team in the league, a.k.a. the Houston Rockets, 13-48 tonight, 30 games behind the Nuggets. That's the difference between the Nuggets and the Rockets, guys. It's 30 games. And yeah, you could feel that a little bit tonight, that this is just two different levels of play. And the Rockets just weren't there, even with Jalen back. You know, it's weird. You know, the last time I hosted a show on Friday, I believe it was, you know, we were talking about, like, things that the Rockets could really do to kind of, like, salvage something out of this season. And I'm still struggling to find that. Like, I really am struggling to figure out, you know, what can be salvaged until this team gets a new coach. And it's hard for me to find something, you know. But I think, you know, these individual performances from Tari, these individual, like Jalen, I thought was solid tonight. You know, that's something just to kind of keep hope alive until the end of the season. And then that's when the hope can start to grow, when the team makes some massive changes. But I've got my co-pilot, Michael Brown, up here, so I'm going to bring him on up for a little bit of a chat. Michael Brown, what's going on?
Hey, man, driving home from bowling. Thought I would check in with you.
Yeah, how much did you bowl more than the Houston Rockets did tonight?
Yeah, I averaged 150 over three games tonight, so I think I did okay.
Well, that is more than the Denver Nuggets, good sir.
Well,
you're a pretty good bowler, though. You've been bowling for a while.
Yeah, a couple years. This is the last year I'm gonna do like the league thing because it's just not my thing anymore. But it is what it is. I caught some of the game. It seemed like a typical Rockets performance this year, so I don't think I missed too much, did I?
Not too much. I mean, what is yesterday is today. What is today is tomorrow. I feel like with this Rockets team right now, we're kind of in this lull until the lottery, really. That's kind of how I feel. That doesn't mean we can't, you know, look at these games and talk about it a little bit. You know, Tari had a pretty solid night. Like, you know, let's add some joy to this podcast. Tari, 17-12 tonight, leading scorer for the Rockets, leading rebounder for the Rockets. Six of those naturally came on the offensive end, on the rebound side. But, you know, those are the things we can, you know, be excited about as the season, you know, comes into the final stage right here, is performances like Tari's, and, you know, hopefully we can be able to, you know, take that and enjoy it for what it's worth.
What Jabari did tonight?
Jabari, again, you know, really kind of blah night for him. Yeah. 0 of 4 from three, had 8 points, six boards. It was just, you know, not what you want from the top draft pick.
He's also
starting to kind of see, like,
yeah,
it's rough for Jabari. And, you know, we've kind of talked about it over the last couple of weeks. It's, you know, I really want to see what happens when he gets a new coach. But
new coach
the early returns on Jabari, I know it's all, and I don't like, you know, making these rash judgments after less than a season. But we've got 57 games out of Jabari so far, 58. And it's just not – it's – I think because he was the number three pick, he had such high expectations. Like, if you swapped Jabari and Tari's – placement in the draft, I think we'd be more excited about Jabari.
Yeah, who was it? Adam and I went at it. That's not the right word. We had a heated debate on the last show about that. And to me, he needs a new coach and he needs a point guard. Like, he needs a guy that can distribute him the ball in better places than what he's getting it right now. And if you actually look at it, like, I get the hate on Jabari, no doubt. Would I bench him for Tari? Me personally, no. Because you can't do that right now. And it doesn't make any sense to. Tari's thriving in his role. Why would you remove him from that role, number one? But number two, his numbers, and he's on a better team. He's having a better year, Jabari, is than Keegan Murray. I mean, Murray lit us up just like the entire league does. But it's not like, you know, the Rockets made a terrible choice at three still, in my opinion. I think he's struggling. I think he'll come out on the other side.
Yeah. Statistically, Keegan Murray and Jabari Smith are roughly the same in terms of averages. They're both averaging exactly 12 points per game. The one difference, Keegan Murray is shooting over 40% from three, whereas Jabari is shooting under 30.
Yep, that's the major difference.
That is the problem, because he was branded as a three-point shooter. And that is probably, I think, the challenge that he's facing is, you know, he was a great three-point shooter in college, but now in the pros, he's he's kind of, you know, not there yet. And
he's hit a wall. He's hit a wall in his rookie year.
He's hit a wall. Yeah, definitely. You know, and look, we're and by no means am I or are you writing off Jabari. I don't think that that's like what is the nature of this conversation. But I think it's fair to be underwhelmed or even a little bit disappointed by his output so far. But I also think that if you were to change some variables around Jabari, that things could work out. Do I think he's going to be, you know, considered to be at the third best career in this whole draft class? Probably not. And maybe in a redraft 10 years from now, I don't think he'll end up as a top three pick. But, you know, Jabari has all the physical tools to be a great player in the NBA or have a long career in the NBA, a really, really solid, good player in the NBA. It just the culture's got to change, and that's not Jabari's fault.
No, it's not. And this will be my final point before I let you take the rest of the night. Is they need a change so bad, Jeremy. Like, it's hard to put into words how badly they need a new coach and a new philosophy and a new direction. It's so sorely needed that losses, I mean, they just don't even faze us anymore. They're 13-48 now. Like, I can't even wait for this season to be over, you know? And I know that's not great for the shows that you and I do, for one of us to be like, I can't wait for the season's over. They're just, they play with no heart as a whole. They play with no direction. They play with no leadership. And that starts from the top down for me.
Yeah, and every time we have an episode, it's one step closer to the end of that season.
Much love.
So we'll call this a celebration. And I'll leave you to it, Mike. Thank you for popping in and chatting with me for a bit. All right. That's my co-pilot, Michael Brown, piloting his car. And I'm going to co-pilot the rest of this podcast. Won't be too much longer. But if anyone else wants to come up and talk, hit that speaker request button and we can chop it up. You know, I think with tonight, you know, a lot of people have kind of looked at Denver as as kind of a model for the Rockets, especially with how Şengün has been playing and how he has like a Jokic potential as a passer. And this guy, CT, is coming up, and he's a perfect guy to talk to. He's kind of my Nuggets guy on here. So I'll see what he has to say about that. But CT, welcome back to the Dream Take. Been a minute, brother. How are you? Hit that unmute button, CT, and then you will be able
to Jeremy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. I know it's been a minute. How's everything going?
Yeah, pretty shit. We're at the bottom of the standings, but how's the weather up there at the top?
it's looking nice right now. Just got to keep sustaining, though.
Yeah, we're happy to oblige to your charity work tonight. I'm glad that you came up here because I guess, you know, the Nuggets are kind of what a lot of teams are aspiring to be. As you know, this team that, you know, has arguably the best player in the league. And he's a big guy that can pass. And we've seen that a little bit with Şengün. Obviously tonight, Şengün did not have his best night, 7 points, but 8 assists. Şengün, not a lot of big men can post 8 assists in a game. So like, can you see like the smallest little semblance from an outsider's perspective of like a maybe the Rockets can try and mimic what the Nuggets do with Şengün as that Jokic archetype? Not saying that he'll be Jokic, but is there some semblance of what y'all are trying to build in Denver?
Yeah, I think to a degree for sure. You see a guy like Şengün, you know, really good passer, I think, this year. I think his scoring is a little bit behind still right now. I think he's a little more undersized than Jokic, so I think that's a factor as well. Just watching him tonight, I think he was trying to do too much offensively, I think, instead of letting the game come to him. So I think that's, you know, one of the problems that he had in this game in particular. But yeah, you know, you see like a jump.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Green is somebody who fits the Murray archetype as, you know, probably more of a score first guard with the playmaking slowly catching up as well. Then you see Jabari Smith kind of in that Michael Porter Jr. Mold, you know, guy who's, you know, he was billed as a shooter coming out of the draft, but hasn't really lived up to that this year. I actually think Jabari's a better defender than MPJ, you know, in the long run. So I think that's where the two kind of, you know, differ there. But yeah, no, I definitely see, you know, some semblance of similarities, but I just think the Rockets probably, I don't know how you feel about it, probably need a culture and a coaching change to kind of see the potential with everybody.
Any assistants in Denver looking for maybe a head coaching job this offseason that maybe Rockets fans should keep an eye on?
Yeah, no, I think Rick Adelman, he filled in for Malone a bunch of games this year. Oh. When Malone was
well, we know a lot about Rick Adelman already. I don't know. Yeah. Is he really going to want to be a coach again?
I think it's his son. Adelman? I don't know.
His son.
Yeah, his son. So he's filled in for Malone on a bunch of occasions. And he was,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, no, he was out with COVID. And
David Adelman.
Sorry. Yep.
David Adelman. 41. Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be very interesting. Us, because we obviously had Rick Adelman here. He was the coach for the Rockets in their late 2000s, early 2010s era. The 22 game win streak that the Rockets had back in 2008, that's Rick Adelman's team. And so that's kind of his legacy in Houston. And he won a playoff series in 2009, got the team to 7 games in the second round. They lost to Kobe and the Lakers. They won the championship that year. So that would be kind of interesting. That's a name that we'll definitely have on the radar. Thanks for that, CT. But, you know, kind of bring this back to tonight's game. You know, I guess, we kind of do see, I think, because Şengün is very different than most bigs in the league. And obviously Jokic is kind of the bar that you set for yourself as the MVP. But it seems to me like Jokic is getting even better. Is this the best season that he's had in this 3-year run, or is he just simply the best?
Yeah, no, I think you make a great point. I think it's his most complete year, if that makes sense. He's got more help this year with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So I think that's why his assists are up. Last year's team was not really that great. It's pretty funny looking back at it now. Most of the guys that were in the rotation for the Nuggets last year are basically either out of the league or bench players. So, you know, getting MPJ back and Murray back has really, you know, had an uptick in his assists, which has been great. But I think, yeah, all around, I think a lot of pressure has been taken off him from a scoring perspective. But his playmaking has definitely taken a leap. And, yeah, no, I think he's at a point where his scoring is pretty dominant. But definitely the playmaking is where he's taking the biggest leap for sure.
Yeah, and defensively is something I also want to touch on, because Şengün has gotten criticism in the past couple of games specifically, because the Rockets have benched him. They have benched him before, you know, the clutch time or crunch time in games, not because they are necessarily out of these games, because they seem to pick on him defensively, especially in a pick and roll setting. Did Jokic ever have those kind of defensive struggles early on in his career? And how do you think he's able to possibly, you know, get through 100%. That?
100%, yeah. Jokic was a mark early in his career. And again, I think at times he's still a mark, you know, sometimes depending on the personnel on the opposing team, whether it's speedy guards or, you know, bigger wings that like to attack him, pick and roll. But again, I think the Nuggets have better infrastructure around him. You know, they have Aaron Gordon, they have KCP, two guys who are rangy defenders who can kind of cover with their athleticism for Jokic. And again, I don't think the scheme – again, I think it's a lot of the coaching as well. I'm actually interested to see where you stand with the coaching in general for the Rockets. Jokic strictly plays a two-on-ball scheme. So it's basically – whoever's guarding the ball handler and Jokic trap the ball screen to get the ball out of their hands. So you really can't get Jokic downhill. And Jokic has quick hands, so it really, really helps, you know, his defensive kind of ability there. So I'm kind of curious to see if Şengün would have similar success where, you know, you put two on the ball and you kind of mitigate him getting downhill at the rim. So, and again, I think just with age and, you know, experience, I think Şengün will get better on that end of the floor for sure.
To me, I think the most exciting part about this season has been, and I mean, there's not a lot of excitement when the team has only won 13 games and it's March, but Şengün's potential kind of unlocking and kind of getting to that next level is something that I feel like the Rockets can hang their hat on. And if there's anything to take away from this season, that's probably what it is. And, you know, it, obviously this draft is going to be really important for the Rockets, but if the Rockets after this draft still find themselves in a position of where they can really build around Şengün and they can really, you know, turn him into that Jokic archetype, I don't know if he'll ever be as, I doubt he'll ever be as good as Jokic. I mean, I don't think any player in the league has won three consecutive MVPs. So you never want to shoot that far. But if he can be a poor man's Nikola Jokic and be a consistent all-star, right, that to me is enough. And, you know, especially considering where the Rockets got him in the draft, would totally be worth it. I think it's worth it that they got him anyway. But all these, like, you know, to me, I think the scheme, like you said, CT, is a lot of why Şengün is not fulfilling his whole potential. And of course, you know, experience, you know, he's only, you know, 2 years in the league now. And, you know, when, if they were to get him a different kind of just perspective, I think that could change a lot, not just for Şengün, but for a lot of these guys. And that's kind of where we're at in Houston right now, is like, once we get a new coach that can, you know, that coach has to be the right coach, but if they can get it right, there's a lot of talent with this group that hasn't been tapped into yet. And I feel like this right, coaching staff, I hate to use the word lazy, but for lack of a better word, like, I just feel like they haven't done a whole lot of experimenting with this group. They haven't, you know, changed a lot of the lineups. They kind of just stuck it out and they're kind of just waiting to right, be executed. And that's, you know, that's on them. Like, you know, they could save their jobs if they really wanted to. And they're not. They're not doing enough to save their jobs. And I hope that one day we can be where you guys are in the standings, CT, and, you know, but maybe someday. But before we go, let's talk a little bit of Nuggets. This is a Rockets podcast, but CT, you're a Nuggets guy. Which team in the West are you most scared of for the Nuggets?
I'd say definitely the Suns. Suns for sure. And then I'd probably say, after that, I really don't know. Definitely the Suns for sure. And then a first round series with the Lakers, just because of the narrative, would be pretty funny. But yeah, definitely the Suns, just as far as, you know, getting Kevin Durant, adding that to a team that's already really good. I think that'd be pretty dangerous for the Nuggets, you know, especially if they play in the second round. Nuggets have potential to go home early then. But yeah, I think the Suns just present a lot of problems. And KD hasn't played a game yet, so I can't sit here and say, like,
We got to see what KD looks like with the Suns and how that'll work out. I mean, there definitely is that fear. But a lot of people are saying that this is championship or bust for the Nuggets, or at least that I've seen. Do you agree with that?
I disagree. Yeah, no, I definitely disagree about championship or bust, but I do think there's a lot of pressure on Jokic to kind of, I wouldn't say convert, because he's been very good in the playoffs. It's just he hasn't had his full allotment of guys. You know, Murray's been out for two playoff runs. MPJ was out last year as well. So it's like the Nuggets don't have their full – you know, the two other max guys, you're not going to be, you know, if you take Draymond Green and Klay Thompson from Steph Curry, is he going to really do well in the playoffs? No, I don't think so. So I think a year for the Nuggets, since they're all healthy, in the last year they were all healthy, they made the Western Conference Finals. So there is pressure on them for sure, but I wouldn't say it's championship or bust, but I do think they at least have to get to the Western Conference Finals in order for the narrative to be quiet.
Well, fingers crossed they stay healthy. We still got a month until the postseason, and the postseason, of course, anything can happen. But you know, the Nuggets, they're a fun team. They're a fun team to watch. I actually got to catch a game in Denver earlier this year, my first time at Ball Arena, and Jokic didn't play. Guess what? They lost. But Of course. But CT, anything else before you sign off? Tell the listeners where they can follow you.
Yeah, you know, once again, Jeremy, thanks for having me on. I know we haven't done this in a while, so it's good to finally catch up and, you know, see where you're at with the Rockets and, you know, the NBA. So, once again, thanks
for having me on. We're at the bottom. Not much has changed.
Hey, maybe we'll get one Benaya this year.
Fingers crossed, maybe.
Yep. But, yeah, everyone can follow me on Twitter at CTFazio24. Probably have some articles coming out for the draft and the Nuggets playoff hopes coming up soon. So, yeah, you can just follow me on Twitter at CTFazio24 and follow my work at Crown Hoops.
All right. Thank you so much, CT. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jeremy. Have a good one.
That was really pleasant. You know, we don't often get a lot of enemy perspective. I hate to use the word enemy because CT is not an enemy. But just different non-Rockets perspective, outside perspective, especially for a team that is what the Rockets aspire to be in the coming years. So, yeah, great place. Great show tonight. Great place to park the rocket ship. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of The Dream Shake. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. You can also head over to our Facebook page, give us a like over there, and head over to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. We'll be back tomorrow night. Of course, they decide, let's give the Rockets a Nuggets Grizzlies back-to-back because that's, you know, cool. I mean, it's what it is. The Grizzlies won tonight, 121-109 over the Lakers. So they're coming in with the hot hand. I'm sure they'll give the Rockets everything they asked for. But I will remember this. There was a show that we did. It was a year ago. It was in March. The Rockets played the Grizzlies. I was on a plane. And I land, and the Rockets beat the Grizzlies. And I was totally bewildered with excitement. So I just wanted to bring that memory up, maybe throw some good juju in the air. Maybe we could see that happen tomorrow. But we'll probably not. Let's be honest, probably not. But be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mike Brown, at MikeBrown_2020. He came on early in the show. Thank you so much, Mike. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner, JEREMY. BRENER. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.